This is the sound of second chances. It's more than a bowl of pet food. It's nutrition that changes lives. It's the sound of healthy, happy pets. Not just in your home, but in shelters across the country. Because feeding your pet Hills helps feed shelter pets. Science did that. Hills Pet Nutrition. Buy the bag that gives back. Visit hillspet.com/giveback or tap the banner to learn more.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 26th day of April 20. It's last Friday in April 2024.
It's almost May.
Yeah, I know. That comes through. Last year came right after April.
Sure did.
Yeah. And so our producer tonight, the guy turns the dials, he pushes the buttons and tries to make us sound good, is none other than Seth. Hey, Seth.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Alrighty. And way out yonder in Texas, on the other side of the Rio Grande, you have none other than co-founder of Cops for Christ International, well-known author, prophecy conference speaker, and my good buddy, Chaplain John McTurton.
Well, that's in good company, Pastor Ernie, to be one of your good buddies. I appreciate that. God bless you and all our listeners. And Pastor Ernie, if your voice could be turned up a little, it's way, way, way low.
I am low?
Yeah.
Well, okay, Let me see. Seth, can you take care of that? How's it sound now, John?
Better. Thank you.
Okay, very good. All right, now we have one left here. My apprentice, rising radio star, none other than Aaron Gunnias.
Hello, and God bless.
All righty. You guys ready to go?
Sure.
You know where we were tonight? We were there at the Agape Christian School banquet, huh? And that Agape Christian School, folks, I'm going to tell you, it is one really good school. Now, let me tell you what I was impressed by. Russ Gifford, who spoke on the gap, and he talked about the difference now, how it's changing so rapidly as we move into this Antichrist world system. The difference between those people, those young people in the Christian's education, the homeschooling, and those out there in the public school system, those in the public universities. I mean, the gap's getting wider and wider, okay? The insanity within the system. And again, remember, the Antichrist system, what they call the woke system or the progressive, is simply in total opposition. Whatever God's word, the Bible teaches, they will be the direct opposite. And that's what we call the Democratic Communist Party today. But now, an interesting thing happened today. And that happened right over the Columbia University between 3:30 and 4:45. Do you know what I'm talking about, John McTurnan?
No, not at Columbia. I think there was some Democrat politicians went there.
Yeah, the Communist Party was there, but a Christian organization flew a huge banner for over an hour back and forth saying, God bless Israel. God bless Israel, right over the tops of the communists.
Good for them.
And anyhow, so our scripture tonight is going to be in Zechariah chapter 13 and 14. You ready, Big John?
Give me a moment to get there, Pastor Ernie.
All righty.
Okay.
All right. Should we want to take? Let's take it verse by verse, okay? Look, everybody out there, we've been on the radio for a long time, so everyone listening knows you and I can read, but they don't know Aaron. So let's have Aaron read this verse by verse so they know that he can read. Go ahead, Aaron.
Okay. Chapter 13, verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness.
Okay, so now there's only one thing. What can take away your sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
So that fountain is referred to is what? It's the blood of Jesus, isn't it? And here he goes on. Go ahead and read verse 2.
And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land.
All right. Now we have a real major, major epidemic of unclean spirit. Unclean spirit today. All of those people that are pro-abortion, that is an unclean spirit. Those that are pro-sodomy, they have an unclean spirit in them. In fact, it refers to that. And those that are in prostitution and whoredom, it's an unclean spirit. So, and of course, those that are in the occult Satanism, which is growing. Now, the Democratic Party, more and more every day, the Church of Satan is becoming their church, John. Go ahead and read verse 3.
And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesied.
So now the Lord is speaking there directly to the false prophet. He's speaking directly to the false prophet there. Now, go ahead and read the next verse.
And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive.
Okay. Go ahead.
That's reference to sackcloth, right?
Well, actually, it's a robe of coarse hair. A robe of a coarse hair is what they're talking about. Go ahead.
But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am a husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth.
Okay. In other words, he's saying he's a farmer, right? Do these false prophets do a lot of lying? Okay, read verse 6.
And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thy hands? That he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends.
Okay, so now, who is he referring to here?
The Lord Jesus.
The Lord Jesus, okay. Awake, O Israel, O sword against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Okay. So this is what, John, approximately about 400 years before Christ?
Probably 500, Pastor, and it's about 500 years.
Okay. And so here now, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, now this speaking about a specific time called the 70th week, of Daniel, or the time of Jacob's trouble. We call it what? The tribulation period, right? In verse 8, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts there shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver, and refined, and they will be as gold tried. And shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Who's he referring to?
The Lord Jesus.
No, he's referring to the nation of Israel.
Well, they will say, they will acknowledge Jesus as Messiah.
Right. So the Messiah here is, speaking to the nation of Israel. Okay. John, do you want to read verse 1 and 2?
Chapter 4? 14.
Chapter 14, yeah.
Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravaged, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city.
John, does it look like, you know, Biden just signaled yesterday that he's thinking about putting sanctions against the Israeli Defense Force, the IDF, okay? In other words, if he's under pressure by AOC and the communist Muslims to totally abandon Israel, do we see the nations lining up to do that?
Oh yeah. I mean, what's going on now is really starting to force a division, Pastor Ernie, about those who are going to stand behind Israel, which I don't think are going to be much, and then those that are going to be outright against Israel. And we know in the scriptures that it says here, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle.
So now, when he's talking about this, he's saying that the Lord Jesus refers to those that are the seed of Abraham and those that are the sons of Abraham. And so virtually the Jews, who all of those who were the seed of Abraham, were not necessary. In fact, the Lord Jesus said, you don't know me because you don't know the Father, and you're the seed but not the sons of Abraham. And so we're seeing that two-thirds of those are the seed but not the sons of Abraham. So Jesus said, he refers to those that say they are Jews but are really of the synagogue of Satan. And are those the two-thirds that's going to be destroyed?
Pastor Ernie, I look at it as the ones on the land. I don't see a distinction like that. I think that God is going to bring the Jews, huge numbers of them, back into the land at this time. Like what's happening now, the Jews are going to flee Europe. They're going to probably flee America.
No, he's speaking directly to the Jews here. I mean, that's literally spelled out to you in verse 9. So, I mean, it's very clear he's speaking directly to the Jews when he says, yeah. So, here, when the Lord Jesus referred to those that say they are Jews but are not, and then in John chapter 10, and then also John 8 and John 10, and then in Revelation 3. So now he says, let's go to 14 and pick it up in verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Okay, so the day of battle, that refers to what?
Pharaoh and his armies.
Right, when he took them out of Egypt. And so, and he says, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Now let's take a look and see when it says, as he fought in the day of battle, because there's a lot of similarities here. On the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem. You've been to the Mount of Olives. That's almost straight up, isn't it?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie. I remember the first time when I was in Israel, and one of the most outstanding I'm going to say sites, was the Mount of Olives. I thought it was a little hill with olive trees stuck on it. And when I got there, it was huge.
Yeah.
And you don't walk straight up it. It's got like a serpentine road going up to the top.
There was a time, John, when I could have walked that entire road. But not so much anymore. Okay, so he goes on to say, then shall the Lord go forth to fight against these nations when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in the day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east, and on the Mount of Olives shall cling in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be removed toward the north, and half of the mountain toward the south. When he divided the Red Sea, how did he divide it?
Was it north to south?
He divided it, he split it east-west, and then it divided north-south.
Yep. So now, let me just say this here. When he said, and there shall be a great valley, now, I wanted to make a point, and I lost my train of thought here.
Well, that great valley, could it be with what the Red Sea would be like when it was divided?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And so now here, he says, and you shall flee to the valley of the mountains of the valley, and the mountains shall reach into Azale. Yea, you shall flee like you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah. Now, that earthquake happened like 400 years ago, and people still talk about it. Now, I'm 400 years before this time, okay?
And yeah, Pastor Ernie, that was in the days of Isaiah. That was,
yeah,
700 B.C.
Okay, so there you go. And he says, and it shall come to pass in that day. Wait a minute. Wait, I missed. Let me go back. And you shall flee like you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord, may my God, shall come with all his saints. Aaron, turn to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. With all of his saints. So now we're seeing here, the Lord Jesus returning to earth. Now, I know what my point was. On that Mount of Olives, where was the last place Jesus stood when he was on the earth?
On top of the Mount of Olives. That's where he ascended into heaven.
And so they say that he will come back to the exact same place where his feet stood on that Mount of Olives. Okay? And so now here we see the Lord Jesus returning back to earth, and from John chapter 4 in Revelation chapter 4, when John was taken up, the earth is not mentioned again until we get all the way back here, the church, that is, in Revelation 19. Start with verse 11. Go ahead, Aaron.
And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself.
Keep going.
And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God.
Okay, so now here we see in Revelation 19, the Lord Jesus and all of his armies, his saints. There's four categories of saints that are with him. They're leaving, and they're going to be on white horses. Let me ask you this. Do you think that the saints are going to ride horses millions and billions of miles across space?
Probably not.
No, it's dimensions. What'll happen? It's a door, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. When a door would open, he would appear up in the mountains when Moses, when a door opened and God stepped out into the cloud in the upper room. When a door opened, and Lord Jesus appeared. With Jacob, when a door opened just above him, and the ladder came down, and with the Apostle John in Revelation 4, right above him, a door opened, and he was caught up. And so, what it is, it's dimensions. So we will leave one dimension and return, and a door will open into another for us. So, kind of get a picture that all of a sudden you see the sky opening up, and you see millions of the saints appearing on white horses. And
glory to God.
So now these are God's army. There's four categories of saints. What are the four categories of saints? What is the first mentions of saints in the Bible? Who were the first mentioned saints?
Sons of Abraham.
No. The angels. The angels were the first mentioned as saints. And then you have...
Angels.
Angels.
Really?
Yep. And then you have the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, and in this case you'll have the tribulation saints. And so now here the Lord returns with the four categories of these saints. Now, what does an army do?
They conquer.
Yeah, they go to do war. So we're not going to be there as spectators, are we? Do you think McTernan's going to fight valiant? I mean, is he going to be valiant in this battle?
He'll be a mighty man of valor.
Well, Pastor, my thought on that is we don't really do any fighting. The Lord speaks the word, and it's all over.
I don't kind of think so. I think that... And that's what a lot of people believe, but I don't. We're there. He wouldn't need us to do that. Okay, we were there because here's why: we're going to have glorified bodies, and glorified bodies can't die, can they?
No.
Okay, so if you're fighting against the enemy, and when you go to war, the purpose is to kill more of them than they kill of you, huh? And if you can't die, who's got the advantage? And I think that's what you're going to see. I think, look, let me ask you this. How many times have you thought when you talk about the child sex trafficking and what they're doing to these children, have you said, Lord, just use me to go and take these people out, this wickedness, to stop this wickedness? And I think the Lord's going to give us an opportunity. Now, you know, a lot of people think that he's referring to all the nations. No, he's only referring to the armies of the nations, not all the nations, not all the people here. But there's going to be one heck of a battle, one heck of a battle, okay? And so a lot of people also think that the whole valley of Megiddo is going to be filled with blood up to a horse's bridle. But
that's approximately 4 feet.
Well, yeah, but you see, have you ever been to a racetrack and watched the horses run, especially when there's mud on the track?
What's the approximate feet?
Well, it goes right up to, the mud will go up on that horse right up to his bridle. That's where the mud will stop, right up there to the bridle. And so, you see, if the blood was 4 feet deep, you couldn't fight in that.
And it's like 200 miles
right.
in length, right? Armageddon's
right.
Valley.
So that's what it's referring to. The blood will be up to the horse's bridle. But you're not going to be in a lake of blood that's 200 miles across, okay? And so, he goes on. And you know what, John?
Well, we'll be in our glorified bodies, though, right?
Yeah, we're going to be in glorified bodies, yeah.
The physics will have no, or the laws of nature will have no consequences on us as far as gravity and that.
Well, the laws of nature are not going to have as far as, like, gravity or We won't feel pain. We can't die. Bullets won't kill us.
If we're coming from another dimension, heaven.
Right.
Yeah.
So the bodies we will have will be meant to last forever. I can see McTernan jumping off his horse and taking, grabbing two at a time.
Pastor Ernie, I want to share a verse with you. 2 Thessalonians 2:8.
All right.
Then shall our wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. He's going to speak the word and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. He's going to magnify his glory. And it's all over.
Well, this is a battle that's going to take place here. And here, again, when he talks about the fight against the armies, let me go back to that. And he says, and he shall come and all the saints with thee. Now, if he goes back to Revelation 19, when he comes back with his saints to fight against the
armies. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God.
Right. And so here, again, armies, the purpose of the army is to fight. And so, if in fact, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. You know what we're about? We're going to, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 34, quench the violence of fire, escape to the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to fight the armies of the aliens. And that's what the saints of old did, and that's what we're going to end up doing. But we'll be back right after this.
A strange sensation has seized a nation. Man, things are suddenly peculiarly odd. Instead of thugs and thieves are breaking down our doors, we now deplore the federal forfeiture squads, who have a blessing from our Congress to take a cut of everything they can steal. Here in the land of the free and the home of the brave, things have suddenly become unreal. So please, please, federal policeman, please leave my private property alone. Please, please, federal policeman, you got no jurisdiction here in my home. When you go breaking in through somebody's private front door, you do the Constitution bodily harm. So please, please, federal policeman, please leave my private property alone. New laws now, they're calling loan fraud. Looks like our law enforcement grew a new arm. You make misrepresentation on your loan application, you might just have to forfeit the farm. The crazy fact is, it's retroactive, which lets them loot your life historically. You may be dead in your grave, but if you did not behave, you might just forfeit up your family tree. So please, please, federal police, don't you be seizing my poor daddy's farm. Please, please, federal policeman, sometimes I wonder just whose side are you on. When you go breaking in through somebody's private front door, you do the Constitution bodily harm. So please, please, federal policeman, don't you be seizing my poor daddy's farm.
The ATF and the FBI just hired the KGB. The ADL's got a list for sale.
But you're anti-Semitic if you call it a conspiracy.
Now how could they call it a conspiracy?
My widowed mama, they stole her condo on another federal seizure forfeiture spree. She made the tragic mistake of renting to some reprobate they caught with drugs inside her property. They say her condo somehow is guilty. Now have you ever heard a condo confess? Here in the land of the free and the home of the slave, it's a tangled legal web of a mess. So please, please,
was a state. Please, please, federal policeman. Now this is 10 times worse than Whitewater Gay. Before you pass right on through somebody's private front door, you better check that local office you take. So please, please, federal policeman, don't you be stealing my poor mama's estate. Don't you be seizing my poor daddy's farm. Sometimes I wonder just whose side are you on.
But listen, sometimes he wonders whose sides they're on. Believe me, I don't wonder whose sides they are when they're going after the pro-lifers, when they're going after the homeschoolers, when they're going after parents that speak out at the PTA meetings. I don't wonder at all whose side. You hear that, Merrick Garland, Chris Ray? More and more of the American people, they don't have any doubts on whose side you're on, and it's not theirs. It's the Antichrist collective, New World Order, and so into the deep state. Anyhow, here's an interesting thing. Hey, John, guess who is admitting that there was voter fraud in the 2020 election?
I heard voter fraud. Say that a committee.
Now, guess who is admitting? They're admitting that there was voter fraud in the 20 election fraud of the 2020 election.
Oh, admitting?
Admitting.
Well, I don't know, Pastor Ernie. I know that I've seen evidence with my own eyes in Arizona and in Georgia and in Wisconsin, Michigan. So it has to be a surprise. Who's admitting it?
Well, this Justin Haskins organization did a poll, and they polled people who voted, by mail-in ballots, okay? And 1 in 5 mail-in ballots was illegal. That's 20%. 20%. These are the people that voted, that mailed them in. They admitted. They took a poll. They asked them, have you ever voted, committed voter fraud? They said, yeah. And so here, 17% voted in states that they didn't live in. Like, it was very common for people from New York to vote in New York and then go to Florida because they had dual residence and vote in Florida again. 21% voted for somebody else. In other words, they went in and they cast a ballot for somebody else. 17% forged signatures on ballots. They admitted to this. In the poll, they admitted to this. So, and then, of course, remember Zuckerberg spent $400 million to rig the election. So there you go. It's no longer a secret. What do you have for us, John McKernan?
Well, Pastor Ernie, you asked me to check on what was going on in Arizona.
Yeah.
And here's the headline. Mark Meadows, Rudy Giuliani, Christiana Bob, now she was Trump's attorney, John Eastman, among those charged in Democrat Arizona Attorney General Chris May's witch hunt grand jury indictment. Now, by all accounts, this just happened. This just happened. And by all accounts, Pastor Ernie, just questioning. Now, also, President Trump is an unindicted co-conspirator. And just questioning the accuracy of the election there in Arizona is now a crime.
Yeah, I know. It's just
that. That's, so he is an unindicted co-conspirator because he called the then-governor, I think Ducey is his name. I'm trying to look through his name. and you made a call to him about the election. So that was enough for him to be an unindicted co-conspirator, Pastor. So the timing of it is this is just before the 2024 election. So they want to tie these people up again and then send a message to all everybody in Arizona. If you question, now assuming Biden wins, if you question this election, we're coming for you.
Okay, is this third world communist policy tactics?
Wow, absolutely. Yeah, it's totalitarian tactics. It's a combination of Nazis and communists and you know, whatever else.
So there you go. It's just unbelievable. Now, I think Tom Fenton was one of those, okay?
From Judicial Watch?
From Judicial Watch, yeah.
Really?
I got a list of them. I'll scan down it.
I believe he was there. Now, you know, I watched, you know, C-SPAN used to be the fairest of them, not you know, by far, it wasn't neutral, but of all of them. But that has really changed, and I've been watching, and when they open the call lines, how they'll take the Democratic calls, you know, 2-1 over Republicans. And you say, well, maybe the Republicans are calling it. No, that's not the case, because the Republicans say, I've been waiting on this line and waiting on this line, okay? And so, but Fenton did an excellent job today. I mean, he really let them have it, showed the corruption, and they took call after call from the communists. Boy, and I'm going to tell you, he turned them every which way but loose, and that was really good. So, anyhow, now, the Supreme Court seemed skeptical in the April 25 former President Donald Trump's claim that he should receive absolute criminal immunity, but it appeared to be open to allowing some level of immunity for the president. Now, conservative justice seemed to be poised and remained the case back to remand it to the district court in Washington. Oh, that's no good. Okay. With the instructions on what constitute official and private acts for further fact-finding proceedings. This would further delay President Trump's trial in Washington and possibly other proceedings in Georgia, Florida, and New York, and handing him a strategic win as he seeks to hold up the cases until the November presidential election. Now, Attorney John D. John Sauer argued for President Trump, and former Deputy Solicitor General Michael Dreeben argued for Special Counsel Jack, they call him Dirty Jack Smith, even Dirty
Deranged.
Lawyer, yeah. Jack Smith. The case stems from President Trump's attempt to dismiss Smith's indictment related to the activities on the leading up to January 6th. Justice Clarence Thomas kicked off the questions by asking Mr. Sauer to pinpoint where in the Constitution he derives the concept of immunity. And Mr. Sauer pointed to the executive vesting clause in Article 2, which vests executive power in the president. The justice spent much time wrestling with the Constitution and with the official act for which president should receive immunity. Justice Ketanji Brown, for example, wondered whether an act could be considered immunity if the president were acting in pursuit of a private game. If it was her understanding, she said the prior presidents understood they were vulnerable to potential prosecution. Justice Jackson also asked why former President Gerald Ford would need to pardon former President Richard Nixon if he enjoyed immunity. Mr. Sauer responded that some of President Nixon's conduct occurred in his personal capacity. So in defending the broad scope of immunity, Mr. Sauer pointed to Mississippi versus Johnson and Marbury versus Madison. Presidential immunity isn't explicitly mentioned in the Constitution and therefore often provokes debate about what the founders intended. Elena Kagan and Mr. Sauer sparred over historical intent for presidential power, with the former noting that the founders were opposing a monarch at the time and didn't include an immunity clause in the Constitution. So there you go. And you, one of the good things happening in Florida is that they're appointing a chaplain for are now able to go into the public schools. Did you know about that, John?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, and they're doing that here in Texas also.
No kidding.
Well, glory to God.
Yeah, it's up to the local school boards. And the school board for the area that I lived voted to approve a chaplain into the school.
Then we need to start doing that here in Ohio, too.
Nationwide.
Go ahead and read the article there.
This is Gateway Pundit, Florida Governor DeSantis. Satanists can't be part of school chaplain program. We're not playing those games in Florida. On Thursday, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed House Bill 931 into law. The law allows school districts and charter schools to adopt a policy to authorize volunteer school chaplains to provide support, services, and programs to students as assigned by the district school board or charter school governing board. The governor also made it clear that the program will not be imposed upon public school students, sharing that it is totally voluntary for a parent or a student to participate. In subsequent comments, DeSantis made it clear that the new measure would not open the door for members of the Satanic Temple to be public school chaplains. Some have said that if you do a school chaplain program, that somehow you're going to have Satanists running around in our schools. We're not playing those games in Florida. That is not a religion. That is not qualified to be able to participate in this. So we're going to be using common sense when it comes to this. You don't have to worry about it. So that's those were DeSantis's that's from the Florida Phoenix quoting DeSantis. So I'm curious about that. I've heard that before, that they, because we have freedom of religion, they can claim they're a religion. So what's the...
Well, they do claim their religion. In fact, and again, like I'm telling you, more and more of the Democratic Communist Party are going over to Satanism. You have in New Mexico, the governor has given the Church of Satan a big part in the government as far as health care and things go. They've allowed the church... And to have two, to aborted babies is sacrificing aborted babies. These people are...
Yeah, and Pastor Ernie, the governor's office was directing people to that abortion center that was named something from with Satan. But
yeah.
The actual governor's office was directing people to that abortion center.
Yeah, I know. The governor there is a witch in New Mexico. She
by herself declared that the Second Amendment was null and void, and that the citizens of New Mexico had a turn in their guns. I don't remember the exact details, but it was in the city of I think Albuquerque. So it wasn't the state. I think it was the city. And that she suspended, that's what it was, she suspended the Second Amendment in that city.
So it sounds like it's going to be a state battle.
If I remember right, didn't the county sheriff say no?
Right.
That's not going to happen in this county?
Right, and then the citizens marched in front of City Hall, heavily armed, showing all their guns, and the sheriff said they would arrest no one. Based on her degree.
It backfired on her. But it's as far as this whole keeping the Satanists out of the chaplain program, it sounds like it may be a state battle. Is that correct?
Yeah. That's going to be... of course, the ACLU has already come out, the Anti-Christian Liars Union. Now, these are the people that are pushing to legalize pedophilia. They want abortion. If it's a sin, if God's word calls it a sin, if it calls it an abomination, now they are pushing for it. So let me ask you this. What does God's word call those people that push for things like sodomy and abortion?
Abominable sinners.
He calls them abominations.
Right. So well, here's a question for you, because this is their rebuttal, the Satanic Temple. They're saying, well, the IRS recognizes them as a tax-exempt religious organization. But I don't think DeSantis would say these comments unless he was confident they're not going to be able to do it.
Well, he's got state legislators in that state, and it's not like New York. There's actually some courts in Florida that aren't corrupt.
Well, the whole state government's solid, and I'm praying Ohio becomes like that. We've got the opportunity.
Yep.
All right. Pastor Ernie, we had an election here in Texas, and all the Rhino Republicans were voted out. It was a primary. They were all voted out, and there were corrupt judges, Rhino judges. They were all voted out. Actually, all but a few were voted out. The others are going to have a runoff about 2 weeks. There's going to be a runoff, and it looks like they're all going to lose. So that's politically, that's a spark of light here in Texas, where we're purging out these rhinos on all levels.
Okay,
that's great news. So, yeah, when was your guys' primary?
A couple weeks ago, and so you have to win 50%, and some didn't, and they had like three people running and they didn't get 50%, so there's going to be a runoff.
But many rhinos were taken out. That's great news. There's still hope. We could still have revival. With all, considering all the wicked stuff, we could still come back to God for a season of time.
Well, yeah, because God gives you that in 2 Chronicles 7:14. That word is law. But you see, there's got to be repentance, okay? There's got to be repentance. You see, look, here's the thing. A lot of people will pretend. You know, a lot of people, they're sorry the way things are. Okay, but a lot of them are not sorry for the right reasons. And that's, you know, that's the problem.
Well, repentance is changing and actually turning away from your sin.
Well, repent is actually a military term. It means about face. It means to go in the opposite direction that you've been in, okay? In fact, that's what was repent. Okay. And so it's the same as about face. And so...
Which means, here's the good news, America. Most of us aren't supporting this homo-trans garbage. Most of us aren't supporting pedophilia or abusing fentanyl. Or
yeah, that's true. But read James,
hating Israel.
Read James 1:22. Turn to the book of James and read James 1:22. We'll get to this. Now, in James 1:22, he makes a statement. And this is talking about being...
But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
Okay, there you go. So be a doer of the word.
Sounds like Texas is being doers of the word this last primary.
Yeah, yeah. But you see, you have to have... And see, God looks upon man's hearts. And when you do things, just like recently in Arizona, the Arizona Supreme Court passed that law from going back to the Comstock Act. So they did the right thing for the wrong reason. They wanted to infuriate the left on there, the Communist Party, the pro-death party, and to get them activated. Now, you had three Rhino Republicans betray the people and turn and go to vote with the Democrats. And so here, anyhow, I want to say hats off there too. For you folks out there on the Chicago stations, WYLL, Danelle, John, and Jeff, thank you for featuring What's Right, What's Left. on your YouTube channel, and also for featuring What's Right, What's Left in your newsletter, and also featuring our heartfelt songs. So there, that newsletter that just came in, that's the in Chicago, that's 11:60 a.m. I thank you very much. So why don't you say something nice to the Chicago stations, McTernan?
Well, I'm speechless, Pastor Ernie. Thank you very much for your support and encouraging and promoting What's Right, What's Left. God bless you for it.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Very much.
I'm hearing people are getting fed up with what's going on in Chicago.
Yeah, they are more and more. Biden is losing. The black population in Chicago is turning against Joe Obama very, very quickly, as it should. Remember, you know, because they were asking him when Trump was in, we had him much better than we do now, okay? Everybody was better off when Trump was in. And, of course, Obama is doing all that he can, Joe Obama, to destroy this country as quickly as he can. I mean, he outright wants to totally destroy this country as quickly as he possibly can. So, all right. You had another article there.
Yeah, this is Florida again. They're passing legislation to end squatting, or the squatter scam. And this is also from the Gateway Pundit. DeSantis ends squatter scam once and for all by signing new bill into law. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill Wednesday to protect the rights of homeowners in the state against so-called squatters. That morning, DeSantis posted a video to X explaining the need for the new law. Does your house belong to you? The Republican governor asked rhetorically. Or if you are not using it, can someone just come in, squat for a period of time, and then claim that they have a right to be there? This so-called squatter scam is something that's happening around the country. That's even videos telling people how to go in and take over an empty house, he said. That was never how the law was supposed to work, DeSantis said. And in Florida, we are going to take action to end this scam and to protect the private property of our homeowners. So once it does, homeowners will have a much more streamlined process to evict a squatter by filing a complaint with their local sheriff office and requesting assistance. Sheriffs from across the state will be able to provide adequate resources and support for victims of these crimes, and homeowners preserve their property. So,
30 seconds.
Long story short, the sheriffs will be able to remove the squatters from their house, and whereas compared to other states, they're literally allowing them to take over people's property.
In New York, they're doing that. They're squatting in people's homes, and when the homeowners call the police are arresting the homeowners.
10 seconds.
We're coming up to a break. When we come back to the break, I think we're going to start the second hour by opening up the phone lines. So we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.